And we've been joined by, we always make the joke of, you know, relation of Willie Rushton. It's John Rushton, and John is on the other end of this telephone. Hi, morning.
Good morning, Ian.
How are you?
I am very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm okay as well. And hopefully by the end of this interview, I'll have some guidance from you all about breaking free, because that's the title of your new book.
Yes, it is. It's all about the invisible sort of binds in your mind which hold you back. All those things which you, oh, I can't do this, I won't do that. They, whoever they are, won't like it. And all this kind of stuff. Stop it. You don't need permission. You don't need acceptance. You just go and do it. It's your life. You're entitled to do what you want. So do it.
Do you know what? There are so many people that I know that have those barriers, and they put that thing in front of them, and they and myself included. How did you come to the conclusion that's what people do, and how did you overcome your own boundaries?
I think one of the things is, over the years of talking to people, and they were saying what they wanted to do, and after you've been talking to them for a while, you know, I want to do this, and I would say, so what's stopping you? And then there's a gap. And then there's means you're trawling your mind for something smart to say, because you don't really want to say, well, nothing really, it's me. But you want to put a barrier up to make it sound plausible, to not make you feel like you're stupid or something like that. So that's what, so breaking free is, you know, if you want to do it, do it. You know, you don't have to get permission, as I said before, from anybody to do it. Just do it. Just do what, it doesn't matter how small or insignificant it may appear. If you want to do it, do it.
So what have you done when it comes down to, because when you're reading these kind of books or you're talking to people like yourself, there's always some experience, I'm guessing. So what did you suddenly sort of say, right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it?
I think many years ago, when I left university, which is many, many years ago now, when I was young, slim and beautiful, I didn't know what to do. I hadn't a clue. I really didn't know what to do. And I answered an ad in the newspaper. It was just in the small ads. It was in the Daily Telegraph, actually, for an international company. And I thought I hadn't a cat in hell's chance of getting it. But I did it. I thought, no, do it, you know. So I did it. And I got the job. And it just catapulted me to traveling around the world, literally nonstop for years and years, nearly 30 years, just nonstop traveling. And all the things which I saw, and it's what I had to do. I had to break barriers, do things I've never done, live way outside of my comfort zone. And of course, the more you do that, the more you get more opportunities. And the more opportunities you get, the more you've got to break your comfort zone. And it actually is a bit of a drug. You get into a habit of just breaking your comfort zone and thinking, okay, let's just do it. And yeah, I did it. And when you talk to a lot of other people, and I've met some immensely successful people who've just made it from nothing, and the opportunities do come around. I was talking to one young chap actually on a TV program a little while ago, and he'd been to university, couldn't get a job, and he was at checking out in the supermarket, and someone came up and said, literally, would you like this job? And he said, yes. And then all these things come into your mind, you know, are they having me on? Is this a joke? Is there a camera somewhere? Am I being set up? But he said yes. And lo and behold, he's now got this amazing job. And, you know, people sometimes let things down because they think it's too good to be true. Opportunities are all around you. If you dwell on the negativity of life, you never, ever see the positivity. So if you dwell on the problems, you never, ever see the solutions. If you dwell on, oh, poor old me, this is it, I can't, they won't, they shouldn't, you never say, oh, look at that over there. Oh, what's that? Oh, my goodness, I've never seen that before. You miss all that out. And the only person controlling this is you, nobody else.
So what's the most common problem that you see in every day where people, they want to do something, but I'm guessing they've got to see it first of all. They've got to see the problem that they have. They're probably in their comfort zone and they think to themselves they can't do it. But what's the most common thing?
I think it's self-disbelief, not believing in yourself. It's all right for everybody else, but never for you. You know, if you have a problem, it's all right. Oh, well, if you have the same problem as me, it's all right for you. You can deal with it because. But in my circumstances, my situation, it's different. It's not. We all feel the problems in exactly the same way. It's how we deal with them. It's our attitude towards life. And that is the big thing, having faith in yourself and just going for it.
So where does that faith come from? How do they overcome? Is there any techniques? Is there any advice you can give on that?
Well, it's a very complex thing because it's not a sort of a one-size-fits-all. If you come predominantly from a negative family, the chances are you're going to be negative yourself. I mean, the chances are if you come from a positive family and you fall down, so stop it, just get up and go on. And that's it. So you're used to that. So it's nothing difficult or different for you. That's what you do. But if, you know, when you get into your early teens and early 20s, you have your own mind and you see other people doing things. And it's a case of, well, do I want to do that? Or, you know, if I'm not, why aren't I? And you have a choice. I mean, you have choices. You cannot blame your background because that's history. That's gone. It's finished. You are living today for tomorrow, and you are creating tomorrow today. So it's nothing to do with your past. You can change it. Every day gives you a new beginning. So, you know, if you want to bring the past with you as an excuse not to go forward or as an excuse not to fail, that's absolutely fine. It's your choice. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with failure, and a lot of people think failure is a bad thing. But failure and success are bedfellows. Without failure, success doesn't exist. And so you get 10 out of 10 for trying something. You get 0 for doing nothing. And I think this is the thing. You need to do it for you. You've got to respect yourself. What do you want in life? And a lot of people have problems sort of differentiating between taking ownership of your life and being selfish. They think, oh, well, if I'm doing this and this and this, and what about everybody else and what about... It's nothing to do with that. If you can't do it for yourself, who can? You're the only one who is ever going to walk in your shoes. You're the only one who is ever going to own your mind and your thoughts and your feelings and your aspirations and your joys. Nobody else ever, ever. Not in this life or the next. So it's down to you. You've got to make these decisions. And sometimes if you make a decision, it's going to affect other people. But you see, there's that four-letter word which comes into play called love. And there's also what other people do. So if I have to make a decision to do something for my life, which means stopping doing something for somebody else and somebody else and somebody else, they're going to start moaning, oh, but what am I going to do? Oh, if you stop doing that, what's going to happen to me? And all this kind of stuff. I'm sort of exaggerating slightly. But, you know, as opposed to them saying, good for you, John. You go and do it. It's your life. You've helped us for a long, long time now. We will be all right. Don't worry. It's not. It's this selfishness. So you've got to overcome this emotional blackmail that people put out. Oh, you can't do that. What about us? Well, this is nothing to do with you at all. It's all to do with them. And whose life are you living, yours or somebody else's? And this is a whole sort of complex thing which goes on. But once you have broken free, my goodness, what a difference it makes.
I can imagine. You must see this quite a lot. You get frustrated because you see people that are unhappy, or they're not fulfilling their potential, and you know damn well that they can do whatever it is that they're frightened of doing, but they just don't have the courage to get up and do. I mean, how frustrating is that for you? Do you see that in a, you know, can you size someone up in, you know, having a 10-minute conversation with someone and thinking, crikey, you are so frustrating, you want to kick them up the backside and say, you can do this, you can, but they won't realise. How do you make them realise that they can do it?
Well, I think what you've said, you must have been at some of my meetings and seen it. I take a view which they call detached compassion, which means you don't get sort of emotionally involved, but you see people, and I do meet some fabulous people, and they've got great aptitude and creativity and knowledge and ability, but they don't because of this, because of that. Well, my parents want me to do this. For goodness sake, your parents have had a life. What are you doing with yours? Do they not want you to have a life? You're not doing something evil or nasty or vindictive. You're actually living your life. And it's getting people, and you know, the expression is, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And to some people, you've almost got to, unless you actually have a sort of an ongoing thing in life, you just let them do it. You say, well, okay, these are the facts and the figures, and this is it. It's down to you. It's how you value your life. But this is it. It is very difficult. Some people see it straight away, and all they need is that little push. And that little push is the sort of the sixth figure of the lottery win. Their lottery in their mind, they've won it. Yes, I see it. This is it. This is about me. And once you take ownership of your life, you can actually, everything else falls into place. Everybody else's problems, the world, life, it doesn't make it any easier, but it falls into place. And you can cope, you can understand, you can find a way through, you can find a solution around it. You can see what other people are doing subliminally to try and hold you back. Not because they're bad people, it's because they just don't want to do anything themselves, they want you to do it all for them. Well, you're not here on planet Earth to do everything for everybody else, because you have a life and you're entitled to that life. And that is it. And once, a lot of people, fortunately, do see the light, some don't, but then you move on.
Is it harder when you're younger, or is it harder when you're older?
I think it's harder when you're older, because you get into a rut. But a lot of young people feel that difficulty as well, mainly because of their sort of family background and where they've come from. And the family have never instilled anything really worthwhile. They haven't, again, been a bad family, quite a loving family, but their negative stance is always there. Oh, you get a good... Don't do that. Oh, you get a good job. Oh, you get... Oh, no, you don't do that. Go and work for these people. That's a good, secure job. They're telling you what you want to do. They have no idea what you think in your mind.
Mm.
Despite the fact that they know you. And this is the dichotomy you have sometimes in life. Everybody wants you to break out and be successful and marvelous and wonderful, and the moment you break free, why aren't you like everybody else? Why are you different? Why can't you be like other people do? Why, you know, and it's these people that break free that do things in life that change life. You know, scientists, artists, creators, they have to break free, otherwise we'd never move on in life.
Absolutely. Hey, it's fascinating to talk to you. How do we get a copy of your book?
Well, it'll be out just after Christmas, actually. But it'll be on Amazon and Waterstones and all those major places.
Brilliant. And is there a website we can check out?
Yes, my website, which is www.johnrushton.com. And there are lots of links and video clips and everything on that site.
Okay, brilliant. It's great to talk to you. Hopefully we'll talk to you just after Christmas when the book goes live.
Lovely.
And, don't leave us alone next time.
I won't. That's wonderful, Ian. I'd love to speak to you again.
Okay. Thanks for being there, John.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.